In unveiling his first proposed budget for fiscal year 2010, President Barack Obama has staked out new priorities for the nation, making a clean break with his predecessor's trickle-down, government-is-the-enemy philosophy. In justifying its change in direction, the White House attached a narrative to the budget titled Growing Imbalance, Accumulating Wealth and Closing Doors to the Middle Class, which presented a set of statistics illustrating growing wealth inequality and making the case that a change in the tax code was necessary to redress the imbalance that for 8 years has harmed America's middle class. The $3.6 trillion budget proposes an increase in taxes on couples earning more than $250,000 a year by raising the top two marginal income tax rates to 39.6% and 36%, limiting itemized tax deductions and increasing taxes on capital gains to 20% from the current 15%. Taxes on Wall Street financiers would also be raised. On the spending side, Obama wants to make major investments in energy independence, the environment, education, and health care reform. The president's budget will undoubtedly be challenged by Republicans, many of whom have a fierce loyalty to policies favoring corporations and the wealthy, an ideology championed by Ronald Reagan. But conservative congressional Democrats may be the most formidable obstacle in winning passage of Mr. Obama's key priorities. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Robert Borisaj, co-director of Campaign for America's Future, who explains how Obama's budget moves the nation in a more progressive direction and the important political battles that lie ahead.
Well, this is a stunning budget. This is certainly the most ambitious budget of any president since Reagan rolled back the Great Society, or on the liberal side, since Johnson passed the Great Society in the 1960s. It makes a dramatic change in the philosophy of the last 30 years, and it does so explicitly in the introductory letter by the president to this budget document. It's a much harsher and clearer document or statement than he made in his State of the Union address, where he really does say it is time to end the philosophy and the policies of the last years, which have featured this trickle-down philosophy, and instead it's time to invest in America and build it from the bottom up. And the budget does that. It makes dramatic investments in energy, in education, in health care to start to make the investments we need towards going forward. And then it pays for it by taking on really entrenched interests, cutting the obscene incentives that go to insurance companies to compete with Medicare, reducing prescription drug prices, cutting subsidies to agribusiness, letting the top end Bush tax cuts expire, keeping the estate tax at a sensible level rather than letting it disappear next year, taxing the income of equity fund managers as income as opposed to as investment, cutting subsidies to oil companies, eliminating banks from the student loan program. I can go on. It's just a stunning list of taking on the most really obscene subsidies that have been built in by corporate lobbies into the budget and using that money to pay for basic investments in education and in energy and in health care.
How do you think the debate is going so far on this budget, and what are its chances of passage? There are undoubtedly going to be some changes, maybe some small ones, maybe some big ones, but you think overall this thing is going to pass muster in Congress?
Well, the first hurdle is to get the budget resolution passed, and that'll take place, that vote will take place in early April. That is a vote that it only requires a majority vote, so you really don't need any Republican votes to pass it. What you do need is the votes of conservative Democrats, and they've already started to dissent from this provision or that, argue that they don't want to do the tax cuts on the wealthy, that they'd rather, Max Baucus recently said he'd rather tax health care benefits that workers get than to reduce taxes on the wealthy. So there's going to have to be a real concerted campaign aimed at Democrats, particularly the new Democrats and the conservative Democrats, to get this thing passed as a budget resolution in April. Then the real battle starts with all the committees and the appropriations for each piece of this under the budget caps, and that'll be trench warfare with the interests, the corporate lobbies I mentioned before, And that'll go all the way until October or November, when we will get the mother of all reconciliation bills, which is the only way this thing passes.
You mentioned the likely opposition to some major planks in the budget by Blue Dog Democrats, conservative Democrats around the country. Is there a grassroots organization in place that can effectively challenge and pressure these Blue Dogs to vote for change, to vote for this budget, to change the priorities of the country?
Yeah, I think those pieces are being put together. You know, you have the Obama 2.0, if you will, the 13 million person list that he got from his campaign that's now lodged at the DNC. I think that list will be informed about these issues, and they'll be called upon to call their legislators early to support them. But there's a limit to how much the president directly can go after members of his own party or even the other party without creating permanent enemies. And so it's going to require an independent organization to go after both the Blue Dogs and the Republicans at the end of the day, the appropriations process. And that's being put together as we speak, and I think will be in place pretty soon. I think it's really important for independent groups to have the resources to inform the constituents of senators and congressmen and to challenge them in their own districts in both parties, because the way the lobbies work is they're bipartisan. They fund people with power. They fund the key committee chairs, the key committee minority leaders, and they spread their money around increasingly rather widely. We've already seen press reports about the military lobby and the drug lobby and the health insurance lobby raising literally millions of dollars to gear up for this fight. The corporations are saying they're going to do a $200 million campaign against the Employee Free Choice Act. And they spend that money not just on Republicans, but on Democrats as well. And so it's really important that we have an independent operation that exposes that and the money that these senators and legislators are taking and challenges them in their own districts.
That was Robert Borisage, co-director of Campaign for America's Future. Contact the campaign at area code 202-955-5665 or visit the group's website at ourfuture.org.